Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you so much for joining me this hour. We're beginning hour two with a conversation about allergies. How many conversations have you had about allergies this spring alone? I had a Broadway star sit in one of these chairs, and this poor actor was wheezing and sniffling and said these allergies were a real problem professionally. For the rest of us, it's just kind of annoying. An estimated 30% of Americans, nearly 100 million people, suffer from allergies and asthma. Asthma is serious. And in many cases, an increase in allergy triggers like ragweed and poison ivy have made seasonal allergies even worse. That's why we've asked Dr. Cliff Bassett, the founder and medical director of Allergy and Asthma Care of New York, to stop by today and explain to us what an allergy actually is and isn't, help us identify some triggers, from nuts to gluten to nickel commonly used in cell phones, and offer both medical and non-medical alternatives for treatment. Dr. Bassett's book is The New Allergy Solution, Supercharged Resistance / Medication Stop Suffering. It's published by Avery, and Dr. Bassett is in studio. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for inviting me, Allison. It's a pleasure to be here right in the heart of the allergy spring season.
We're going to, listeners, if you have questions for Dr. Bassett about allergies, give us a call, 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Of course, these are for curious questions, general inquiries. The doctor cannot diagnose you over the phone, but we can answer some questions you might have. All right, so what is an allergy? Let's just start there at the very beginning, doctor. And what isn't it?
So let's go back to the basics. How an allergy works and the anatomy of an allergy in less than 30 seconds. You come in contact with an allergen. It could be tree pollen, grass pollen, pet dander. Your immune system, and this is a very simplistic oversimplification, mistakenly believes it's the enemy or an invader and begins to make an antibody we call IgE that can attach to the mast cells found in the body, especially in the skin, the lung, the nasal passage, GI tract. And without even realizing it, you develop an allergic sensitivity that we can actually identify and test through blood tests, skin tests, and so forth. And the bottom line is, the body tissues, blood vessels, mucosa, line, certain tissues and organs expand, congestion, sneezing, wheezing, itchy eyes. And again, itchy eyes go along with seasonal allergies, and they're also equally annoying and vexing. Finally, Dr. Bassett, when I'm in the allergy mode, I feel tired during the day. What's happening? It's like a common cold. They're not getting enough correct breathing, sleep disordered breathing, they're congested, they have poor quality sleep, they wake up and feel awful and tired. So my goal as an allergist is to combat myths and talk about the truths, which we'll do a quiz question in just a moment. So in 1970, data shows that 1 in 10 individuals had seasonal allergies. Guess what? 20, 30 years later, we're talking about 3 in 10. Asthma on the rise from 3% to 8% over the last 30 to 40 years. So what's happening? Humans are warming the atmosphere. We'll talk about the longer growing season, more time for people's eyes, nose, and throat to be exposed to pesky pollen. And if you're a sufferer, you know who you are. So stay tuned. I want to share some tips with you, Allison, today, and talk about the new allergy solution, which is basically a compilation of my career in a book to try and help people identify solutions. And in this approach, collaborative, whole-bodied, proactive, preventative, and not just medications, but integrative and non-medication approaches alike. So I believe that people need to be an informed advocate for health. And today we're talking about developing and learning about clear, concise description of allergies and how to be proactive and do everything possible to prevent symptoms, in some cases, even before they kick in.
We've got a call already. That was fast. Let's go to Carla on line one. Hi, Carla.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm sitting here with my daughter, Nora, who's 7, and she has severe pollen allergies. And we've been to the doctor, and she's had all the testing. It's mostly tree pollen, of course, this time of year. And we do everything the doctor says, preventative-wise, air filters. She's even got an air conditioner in the classroom, outside as little as possible, the washing down. And she's on lots of antihistamines. And the problem, we're having a secondary problem where around her eyes and her face are so dry from all of the medicine. I was wondering if there's anything that can complement all of the stuff I'm doing that the allergist says to do that can help with that kind of issue.
Okay, so the question is that this Nora, the 7-year-old girl, is severe allergy. She's on a lot of medication, the antihistamines. They're doing the air filters. They're doing the air conditioner in the room. They've been to the allergists. And Carla, would you ask your question, your last question once again?
Yes. So because of all of the medicines and the antihistamines, her skin on her face and around her eyes is getting so dry that it's creating this whole other issue from treating the allergies. So I wasn't sure if there's like any kind of complementary or a kind of integrative medicine type solution I can use to help her with that.
To help with the drying around the eyes and all.
That's a very good question. And eye symptoms drive people crazy when they have allergies. The first question, and I know we're going to be sort of general today, is has your daughter been evaluated for allergies through diagnostic testing to find out if there's an indoor seasonal allergy or whether you're dealing with something entirely different, such as dry skin, eczema, or perhaps pink eye and things like that? So give me a little bit of a eye background in terms of what's happened to her, what you've done thus far, so we can deal with some facts.
Yes, we go to the allergist. She's had full allergy testing, skin testing and blood testing, and her biggest allergies are the only ones that really came up were all tree pollens, especially oak pollen, which on Long Island, they're just everywhere. So it's very, very high here. And she's been to the eye doctor and everything, and they said that it's just from all of the antihistamines that she has to take for the pollen allergies. It's making her skin very dry.
Well, I'd like to illustrate a concept called immunotherapy or allergy vaccines. And these can now be done through injections in a doctor's office, such as an allergist, as well as sublingual medications that are available for at-home administration. And the purpose of this allergy treatment is to decrease the sensitivity to allergens and often lead to lasting relief to develop a tolerance. So this may be another approach in terms of being more proactive and looking for long-term approaches. And in children, we treat every day in our practice here in New York City. We see lots of kids with allergies, and allergies tend to improve over the lifetime, but early childhood, children, preteens, and so forth, that's a peak time. So I'd say work with your allergist to find out if she's suitable for some type of allergy intervention, which is a little bit more natural in terms of trying to make her more tolerant. In addition, a good eye exam, certainly, if she has dry eyes and other factors. She may have some eczema skin around her eyelids. I don't know, moisturization. But certainly, she is a good candidate for a comprehensive approach. And I certainly know that it can be frustrating to have a child when I had one of my sons had asthma, was hospitalized when he was a child. So it certainly doesn't discriminate, and it affects all of us. So having an approach that's very detailed and perhaps taking a step back and looking at some of the immunological approaches that are now available that may be very suitable for your child.
Carla, good luck. Let's go to Jim from Seacliff, New York, who is on line four. Hi, Jim. What's your question for Dr. Bassett? Hi, Jim. Jim, are you there? Jim. All right. Let's put Jim on hold. Let's try Bill from Montclair, who's on line three. Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Hi. What's your question, Bill, for Dr. Bassett?
Okay. I'm a beekeeper, and I sell my raw honey, and I give a lot of it away. And people have told me that it is very helpful eating the local raw honey if they're nearby where the honey is made by the bees, that it helps them with their allergies. And I've heard this from other beekeepers, but never really heard anything official on it. And I wondered what his thought was on
raw honey.
The use in raw honey with allergies.
Excellent. Bill, we'll get an answer for you. We'll get an answer for you. What do you think, doctor?
Well, that's a great question. It's timely. And people love honey, especially love kind of fresh local products. So the question you're asking is eating local honey going to help you during the pollen season? At least will it be a reliable way to manage? And the answer is not so much. My colleagues in the University of Connecticut have looked at an elegant study over about the last 10 years or so where they looked at local honey, store-bought honey, and so forth. And because seasonal pollen is spread by wind pollination, not insect pollination, you really can't depend on good old-fashioned honey and Mother Nature for real allergy relief. There are people and anecdotal patients in my practice that swear by it and love it, but most other researchers have not found it to be a reliable way to fix allergies and treat allergies. And since allergies are on the rise and the individual symptoms may be more severe this time of the year, it's one idea, but I don't want to put it out there that that would be something that would completely fix the problem. And studies do not support that in general, most studies, that it would be a reliable way to fix your allergies. But I certainly love the fact that you're a beekeeper.
My guest is Dr. Cliff Bassett, founder and medical director of Allergy and Asthma Care of New York. We're talking about allergy season. Oscar from Weehawken has an interesting question. Hi, Oscar.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, I've seen advertisings now for like nasal flushes, and I'm wondering, does that really work, or is it more of just a placebo?
Oscar, thanks. Nasal flushes, what do you think, Dr. Bassett?
Well, we're talking about allergy season. I like to bring the concept in wearing a hat, perhaps a wide-brimmed hat. Hair gels turn your hair into a pollen magnet during the season, bringing it back into your boudoir, and then wanting you have red eyes, transferring all that pollen to your bedsheets. So washing your face at night, wearing a hat, and also being a star, wearing wraparound sunglasses to block airborne pollen that enter through your eyes and lids that can cause redness and a lot of misery. So the bottom line is there's a lot of protective things you can do this year. Knowing the pollen count, things like that, you can actually pre-treat. In our practice, we're on allergy alert, so people have already been tested for the year, and we know what their specific tree pollen and pollens are, so they can play along at home and be a home gamer and do some more proactive approaches. Did you have a specific question within that?
The nasal sprays
are wonderful because what they can do is they can wash away pollen and other particles that can be problematic to get the allergic mechanism going, as well as if you have sinus problems, and they're very common, neti pot, and sometimes they're medicated. And one of the most common chronic problems in adults is chronic sinusitis. And we do know even with allergies and asthma, there's a connection. We think about there's a threefold risk over 25 years to develop asthma if indeed you have seasonal and indoor allergies. So there's a lot of connections. So nasal saline, neti pot, those are all part of the repertoire. But I like to look at the pie chart. I like to see how you got to the problem, who your family is in terms of allergies, and all of the slices of the pie chart that come together in terms of your anatomy, your immune system, where you live, what you're exposed to. Do you have oak pollen in the backyard? One of our former calls called in from Long Island, New York, and we know that birch, oak, and maple are very high this time of the year, and birch is one of the most powerful pollens this time of the year in the New York Northeast area, and it's a very prolific one. I myself have something called oral allergy syndrome, which means certain fresh fruits and vegetables will give me itchiness of the throat and worsen my seasonal allergies. And many people don't realize it's not just what's in the air that may affect their eyes and nose and throat, but it can also be what they ingest this time of the year. So having this type of evaluation, if you're a sufferer, is something I highly, highly recommend for a variety of reasons, and it can be very cost effective.
Doctor, is it possible to experience seasonal allergies for the first time as an adult? Just 1 year, you have this reaction that you've never had before?
Well, I think what's probably happening is people that have seasonal allergies also have indoor allergies. Maybe they weren't tested. So during the year, they think it's normal to sleep at night, they're congested, and so forth, and they have the indoor allergies, so the glass is already two-thirds filled, and with the advent of the spring season, the pollen kicks in, they're sensitized from previous years of exposure. It usually takes 2 to 3 years, and now, voila, they have itchy eyes, watery eyes, red eyes, sneezing, and they have seasonal allergies. We know that pollen counts are higher. We also know that many years ago in the New York City area, we had Dutch elm disease. And as a result of that, we've slowly lost plants that were less allergenic, and they've been planting more male plants, which are more likely to be a pollen bad guy than ever before. And they've also, in the past couple decades, there's more planting around schools and certain areas of allergy-prone plants. And I'm working with some people in the government of Canada to try and change the landscaping. And a very good friend of mine, Thomas Ogren, who wrote Allergy Friendly Gardening, about planting landscaping around schools and certain areas to try and reduce our exposure to pollinating plants. And whether it be plants or flowers, in the book I list a whole bunch of ones that are very successful, and also gardening tips. You can enjoy Mother Nature garden, and that doesn't leave out poison ivy, which is on the rise because of global climate change as well. And there are ways we can prevent poison ivy, manage it more successfully. So these are all seasonal themes. We could probably talk about this all day, Allison, in terms of outdoor exposure, what to do and what not to do. But that's certainly a great question about the sinus lavage, which is common, safe, and easy to do.
Yeah, so the idea is that maybe I haven't changed, but the environment around me has changed, and this is my year. Okay, we're going to sneak in one more question before a quick break. Mauro on line 8 calling from West Harlem. Hi, Mauro.
Hi, how are you? Can you hear me?
Yes. What's your question for Dr. Bassett?
Great show. My 5-year-old had to sit back from going to school today, from pre-K, he woke up literally with one of his eyes shot. It looked like he had been in a boxing ring. He, in fact, said you should look at the other guy, so he has a sense of humor. But I am very concerned about, you know, as I wait to get to his pediatrician, is there anything I can do other than, you know, Claritin for kids? And there is a medicine in terms of eye itch relief for the eye. But so the first question is a almost completely shut eye, which is getting better now, normal. And, you know, what else can be done at home in terms of kids while you wait for the doctor visit?
While he waits to go to the doctor, what can you do to help out his little guy?
Certainly. Is there a pattern? For example, is it something that happens each year or this is unique? In that case, it may be related in part to infection. Certainly have a thorough eye exam to see whether it's allergic swelling, viral infection, bacterial infection, or again, if it's a pattern, what I recommend to individuals who have kids, and you know, I've had the same, is to do proactive care. So if you know he's going to have symptoms in April and May, you work with an allergist, you work with your pediatrician before the season, and I have my patients instructed to start on any type of proactive and over-the-counter therapies 2 weeks before the season kicks in. The key is to prevent nasal priming, which we don't have time to go into detail, but basically, early judicious use of medications are going to work a lot better than when you're suffering and sneezing and really uncomfortable. The allergy misery can take hold, as you know. But again, in your case, I would say an eye exam. We need to make sure it's not an infection, which can be also from initially an allergy and then itching and scratching. But that sounds like a lot of swelling. And sometimes blood tests are necessary to give a proper diagnosis for your child. And I hope your child feels better very soon.
Thank you so much for the call. Our number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. We'll continue with Dr. Cliff Bassett. We're talking about allergies. This is All of It on WNYC. This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. My guest is Dr. Cliff Bassett. He is founder and medical director of Allergy and Asthma Care of New York. He is answering your allergy questions, and we've got a full board. I do want to ask you this, Dr. Bassett. Everyone seems to be talking about, you know, we were going to talk about food allergies and all that, but everybody seems to want to be talking about what's going on outside. It's the weather is nice. We're going out. The trees are blooming. What other kind of issues do people need to be careful about in terms of what they do to deal with changes in their appearance because of allergies, what they need to do in terms of skin care, other preventative things they can do now that it is getting nice out?
Well, I think allergies certainly affect how you feel and how you look. And we did a study with a local New York City newspaper about a decade ago when we looked at our female patients coming in, there were allergy sufferers. And as a guy, I didn't know anything about cosmetics and concealers. But what happens is very often people will use cosmetics to cover up the puffiness under their eyelids, the swollen eyelids, the bluish veins that show through from congestion, which can be related to allergies, nasal congestion, and sinus issues. So the idea for me as a clinical allergist is to figure out and troubleshoot what's the equation there? How much of this is sinus? How much of this is allergy and other things? And try and reverse the process, reducing the need for extra additional cosmetics. And certainly that's a thing we talk about is aesthetics. So it's not just what you feel. It may be your appearance as well. You're going for a job interview and you have red eyes and you have watery eyes. It's not the best look. However, you're a sufferer. And so the idea is to be proactive. So it can affect your appearance. And certainly in children, we can see kids that rub their nose a lot because they have an itchy nose. They have seasonal allergies. They get a crease that occurs in the mid-bridge of the nose. They may have certain grimaces because young children may not describe as I'm having itchiness of my eyes. They may have funny faces. And it can affect children, adults in the classroom learning. Direct impact from many researchers that show if you're sleeping poorly at night, your allergies are uncontrolled, you have congested nasal passages, you won't get the great REM sleep. It will affect daytime alertness and productivity, obviously, in the workplace, as well as learning. So it is a quality of life condition. Allergies can be managed, modified, and certainly in some cases can be prevented. And that's my goal as the author of the new allergy solution is to find fast, evidence-based, long-lasting relief, and people should be self-empowered to understand how to manage their allergies and parents for their children. I went through the same thing when I had a son with asthma.
I want to hear about the plantings. You had shared with me off mic that there are certain plants, and there's certain gardening techniques you can actually use so that the garden can be your friend and help you, not doesn't have to be the source of your misery.
That's right. So I call them allergy-friendly flowers and plants, and there's a lot more to this than just these select few. But for example, azalea, fuchsia, carnations, iris, snapdragons, begonia, crocus, daffodil, hibiscus, and orchid. Very few orchid plants cause pollen allergy, so it's a great wedding flower. Roses are fine, but they should be the tea variety that are unscented, or we call florist hybrids. And so there are some flowers that are good and ones that are not so good, and I go through that in the book as well. In addition, there are also plants indoors, and we talk about people spending time indoors as well on rainy days. They may be more exposed to more air pollution than outdoors, and that brings in the concept of air filters. Should I have an air filter for my child with asthma? Do I have a pet? Is there a pet-sensitive person at home? So air filters can reduce particulate air pollution, and there's a study I just saw today in one of the medical journals looking at during pregnancy and afterwards having exposure to particular air pollution in urban areas and effects on health. So air quality is very important. Right now we know there's more pollen than ever. Pollen seasons are increasing in terms of the length over the last couple decades. The key is to have your game face on. Be proactive and learn. Work with your pediatrician if it's a child and allergist. Learn about solutions, sublingual allergy medications, allergy immunotherapy, ways to try and modify and make you more tolerant. We didn't have time to talk about skin allergies and food allergies. Maybe we'll come
next
back
time.
And do that next time. But the idea is it's quick relief sometimes, but planning and looking at the root cause as an allergy detective is the key. Trying to make a pie chart with your allergist and figuring out how the pieces fit together and what's a cost-effective way to approach them this season and beyond.
Let's get in a few more calls before we wrap. Let's go to Josh in Parsippany on line two. Hi, Josh. What's your question?
Hey, how are you?
Great.
If poison ivy is rising, and I do see it more and more, what's the best way when you come in contact with it if you have a reaction? Like, I'm very allergic to it, so I'm cautious of it. But what's the general, is the oatmeal soap work, or do you just have to go to like the heavier prescription drugs to get rid of it right away?
Okay, so go very quickly. Poison ivy, it is on the rise. So if you're going to be in the area, you're golfing, you're sitting on a bench, and you're sensitive, you might want to try a barrier cream, which you can get over the counter. Your dermatologist can advise to block some of the poison ivy oils. What you do at the end of the day, take a shower, wash it off. So that's a preventive approach. We also know there's some products over the counter, such as Tecnu and things that really are great cleansers. You want to get that poison ivy off your body within the first couple hours. That's going to reduce misery. When you have poison ivy, and it's a generalized poison ivy, it's very severe, affects the genital areas, the facial areas. We're almost always going to prescribe oral steroids for up to 3 weeks. That's how long it takes to lick the problem. And it's certainly something we can try and be proactive with, but it is on the rise. There's also a cross-reaction with some people having issues with mango, pistachio, and cashew nut, and there can be a cross-reaction. Again, one last thing. You're outside in the sun, you're handling lemons and limes, and you get a rash. That's what we call phytophotodermatitis, and it's a combination between sunlight this time of the year and certain citrus fruits. So again, I wrote the book, want people to understand it's something you can master and learn with your allergist as a consultant and with doctors throughout the country dedicated to making people feel better, learn more about this. There's always a solution, and that's my goal. So I think those are great question you asked.
Let's go to Derek on the Upper West Side about grass allergies. Hi, Derek.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My brother and two oldest uncles had some kind of condition I was told they were born with, allergic to grass and trees. They also had bronchial asthma. Very significant or severe case. And the family doctor at the time allegedly cured them. He used to give them shots in their left arm, and very painful after the shot. At least I experienced this with my brother. I've told the stories about my uncles that the arm would swell up like it had a like they had a golf ball underneath the arm.
What's your question, Derek? We need to get to that. Sir.
Well, I've never heard of any treatment like that from anywhere else in my life. And I want to know if the doctor was familiar with the treatment. They were actually cured after about 10 years or 12 years of these shots.
That's a great segue in for what we call immunotherapy or allergy vaccines. Allergy vaccines or immunotherapy have been used in this country and throughout the world for the last 7 or 8 decades. It's a cost-effective, beneficial treatment. The idea is the injections, and there's also now allergy drops and sublingual medications that could be administered at home, decrease sensitivity to airborne allergens. They often and mostly lead to lasting relief of allergy symptoms even after the treatment is stopped, which is the goal of 3 to 5 years. Develop tolerance, and this is a form of treatment that decreases symptoms for many people with seasonal allergies, indoor allergies, allergic asthma, as well as stinging insect allergy, which is also on the rise, but we see less of that in New York City because obviously it's a less rural area. By the way, people that grow up in rural environments, they do better in terms of preventing allergies in their future children than people in urban areas. And we don't have time to debate that, but there are some implications of different climates, and we do know allergies are on the rise globally, but that's another terrific question about ways allergists can work with yourself, your children, your family, your pediatrician to provide long-term, effective, safe relief.
The name of the book is The New Allergy Solution. Dr. Cliff Bassett is the founder and medical director of Allergy and Asthma Care of New York. Dr. Bassett, thank you so much for joining us today and helping out our listeners.
Hope to see you again soon.
You're listening to All of It on WNYC.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.